Well, you know, we don't have but a few more days left. We don't have but a few more days left in 2014. Then we will be entering into a new year. But let's think about that just for a moment. A few more days. A few more days is all we've got left in 2014 to do what the Lord has asked us to do this year. Sometimes we have made plans to do certain things and we just hadn't got around to it. But I think we need to start thinking about some things that a year ago, right, almost 12 months ago, January the 1st of 2014. And I wasn't here at that time, but I know that probably each and every one of you thought about some things that you would love to do this year. And it seems like you got to the point where you hadn't got around to it. What got in the way? What got in the way of your reason and some things that you needed to do? What got in your way? Was it the devil? Was it someone else? Or was it your own self? Sometimes I say this, and people, they don't really understand where I'm coming from at sometimes, but we as Christians, sometimes we blame the devil on things that the devil didn't have no part in. You say, what do you mean the devil had no part in? It's plain in God's word what we must do. And we don't have to look to God each and every time. We don't have to pray to God and ask God to help us with that. The first thing I think about is that in January of 2014, I thought about myself and I thought about I need to do a little more for the Lord. I need to give a little more to Him and His work. I need to do a little more visiting. But you know something? I don't have to pray to God. And no Christian should ever have to pray to God and asking God to help them to be able to give back to Him that He has rightly gave each one of us. We know what the scripture says over there in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It speaks about the tithe. It speaks about the storehouse of God. But there's three words there that we fail to even look at them three words. And it says, prove me now. He did not say anywhere there that we must come and ask Him for His help in going out and visiting and going out and trying to earn some money or trying to come up with what we can do and to give more back to Him. That's the first thing a Christian needs to look at, and we need to look at it in that way. Prove me now. The Lord is saying, and that's what He's asking us tonight, here tonight, and in the next few days that we got left, He's asking each one of us to prove me now. That is proven God is real. How do we prove that? By faith, and faith alone. We can see right here in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking." We must not have the desire to have envy in our heart. We must not have the desire to get back at someone else. We must have the desire in our heart to serve the Lord at all costs. That's what he done. You say, "Well, I ain't the Lord. I'm not God. I don't have this thing. I cannot do what God can do." No, we can't do what God can do, but we have His Word. And His Word tells us that we must trust Him by faith and through faith. And if we do that, there's nothing out here that we can't conquer. And I know I've maybe said that here before, and if you've heard it, that's fine, but I think it's good to repeat every now and then. But there was two young children there was in a foster home. And they live out in the country somewhere, and they lived on this side of the highway behind a mountain of dirt or mountain of trees that was between the house and the highway. And every weekend or once a month or whatever, the dead parent right there, or the foster mother or the foster father, would take the children into town. And they would get so excited because they could ride to town, because they could see all the other automobiles, the big transfer trucks and all of that going up and down the highway. And it amazed them. And there was in an awe, like, "Look at the traffic. We haven't seen this kind of traffic before." And they haven't, because there was something between their home and the highway, and it was a mountain. We have the same kind of mountain today, and that we're facing also, that won't allow us to look at what God wants us to do for Him. We have the mountain of doubt. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But we have the mountain of doubt. We have the mountain of troubles. And when they come and force on us, and that we can't, it seems like we can't handle the doubt, and we can't handle the trouble, and we can't handle the circumstances that we're under at that particular time, so we can't look no farther than the trees in the forest. You know, you have some people say, "Well, you go out here and you look over there in the woods and everything, that says there's no sound over there." But there is a sound there. If there's anything that's in them woods there, that is living, that is breathing, they hear the sound. We can hear the sound of God through the voice of the Holy Spirit in helping us so we can go out here and tell other people and love the other people. We need to love people. We need to love one another. We need to love them as much as we do, or as much as we love God, because God is love. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you here tonight truly love God? If you truly love God, then you want to do God's work. You want to do something for God. How many here tonight love your family? This coming holidays, the Christmas that's right upon us in the next week or whatever. What are we going to do? We're going to go out here and we have spent money and we've spent some time in making a gift or going out here and hustling and bustle and buying a specific gift for someone that we love. But what have we ever thought about that God would also love to have that gift also? And the gift that I'm speaking about that God would love to have this coming Lord's Day and this coming Christmas holiday that we're about to ready to receive and everything, and we're supposed to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to celebrate Him because, well, He died over 2,000 years ago. We're not supposed to celebrate that. We're supposed to celebrate His birthday. And His birthday is not December the 25th. It's not. I believe it's in sometime in the spring or the fall part. But I will not get no argument with nobody about it. I'm not going to get in no argument with anybody about the Word of God. If that's all they want to do, if they want to challenge me, or then they think this says that, and then what do you believe? I'm not going to argue with them. I said, well, you believe what you want to believe? I got my own beliefs. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the King James Bible. I believe in it verse by verse, word by word, letter by letter, page by page. In other words, everything that this right here, this right here, even the leather right here, I believe in the leather. Why? Because the leather is holding together the Word of God. For me to be able to pick up and read and be able to cherish it. We need to cherish the Word of God. We need to take it, and we need to take it, and we need to hold up caught against it so tightly that nobody can pull it out from our hands. That's how much we need to cherish it. But we have doubts, and we have doubts, we have troubles. I don't have no doubt at all about the Word of God. I don't have no doubt about it. Says what it says, and that's it. And ain't no discussing about it. I don't have no doubt about it. The King James, them three men took the King James Word of God, and they led me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got saved, and my names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they promised me right then, according to God's Word, that I was going to enter into heaven one day. Well, praise God, that's as far as I want to go. I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go nowhere else. But there is some things in the Bible that I must tell people that, yes, unless you believe in Jesus Christ, unless you confess that He is the one, you're going to die and go to hell. But there's literally a place called hell. But as far as them two children there, you know, they was in the same rut that a whole lot of Christians has got themselves in, of doubt. Because they could be on this side of the mountain and not seeing the highway and the foster a father and the foster mother there could say, I just heard a transfer truck go up the highway. The children could doubt it, Daniel. They didn't see the truck. It could have been a Volkswagen with a muffler, with a hole in its muffler, sounding loud. And after they got back home from traveling to town, they come back home and they got back home and they got out of the automobile there and they went into the house where they was at and told the dead parent that was left there, said, man, y'all seen all the cars and all the trucks that we've seen. We can't see them. We can't get up on the mountain. We can't go up through that because there's no way to get up there. They wanted to get up there. That's all they wanted. They didn't want no Barbie doll. They didn't want no bicycles. They just wanted to be able to go up on a mountain and stand there and look at the track. So excited. But now today, this day and time, people don't get excited no more. All the time they get excited is if they might wake up on Christmas morning and yes, and they got an iPhone or maybe have a brand new computer or maybe a $500 bike or something like that. That's the only time that they'll get excited. It's something that they want. But we need to get excited about what the whole holidays is all about. The tree right there. We need to get excited about that tree there. I know it's artificial. But we need to get excited about that. Why? Because that's what Jesus Christ hung on. His Father in heaven grew the tree. That one day, His Son would hang on that tree. And as He was hanging on that tree, sweats of blood came down from afar, where they pressed down the crown upon the top of His head. I look at the ornaments like that. I look at the ornaments where you can see the different color of ornaments there. It represents what He has suffered there at Calvary. And not only that, you can also take and you can look at the ornaments and say, well, you know, the ornaments, you can't see the ornaments there. You can't even see the tree there. You can't even see the string of lights on that tree. If you don't have the lights are not plugged in. And if all the lights are off here. His Father turned His own back to His Son. He could not look down on Jesus. He could not look down on the only begotten Son, the one and the only Son that He ever had. Oh yes, they coming up now and they saying, yes, oh Jesus, he wasn't the only one. God had four or five children out here, and they say that Jesus was married to Mary, and all that. All of that is a lie, and it comes out of from the pits of hell. The devil, he will do everything he can to mess up the Christian's mind. And I hate to say it, and it don't take much this day and time to disturb the Christians. Because where are they today? Where are they today? You go out here, and you can go out here, and you can knock on the doors. We can go. Each and every one of us can go out here between now and Sunday, and we could spend 8 hours knocking on doors all day long. We could knock on 100 or 200 doors. And if we met and we spoke to 200 people, you'd have 198 of them that will come out and say, oh yes, I go to church. Yes, I'm a Christian. Easy, believism. Yes, it's easy to believe. But it's hard to act it. I mean, I did not, like I've told y'all many, many, many times before, the day that I got saved, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what happened. I just knew it was a change that took place in my life. It took place. Ye also, as a lively stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. It is contained in the Scripture. It is contained right here what Jesus done. It's contained right here within these pages what He wants us to do as believers in Christ Jesus. But what are we doing about it? Have we done enough? Have we? Is it something that you wanted to do and you have not done it yet? You've got a few more days. A few more days. And if you do that, if you do what you have not done, that you said back in January, or you said last week, or last month, or the month before, that you said, God, with your help, I'm going to try my very best to do this particular thing. Have you done it yet? Got a few more days left. Then a few more days can make the difference in where this church goes. It can make a difference in the type of life that you're going to live. It's going to make a difference in other people's lives. It's going to just make a difference in the way we talk. It's going to make a difference in the way we walk. It'll make all the difference in the world. We just have a few more days. We're speaking on that few more days. What if a few more days now until January the 1st or December the 31st at midnight of this year, 2012, and we have not done what we have done. And then he steps out on the cloud. And he turns to Gabriel and says, Gabriel, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Because the father's gonna turn right back around into one that he had turned his own back on because he could not look down upon sin. He's gonna say, "Son, bring my children home. Have you done what you're supposed to do in 2014? I've searched out my life and I've tried to remember and some things that I don't think I've done, but I'm going to try to fulfill that. I really am. Matter of fact, this is going to be on Christmas Day. I'm going to try to fulfill one of them then. Because I know when I go to, on Christmas Day, on that Thursday morning there, I'm going to go to my brother's house where the family would gather that morning, and my mother and all of them will be there. And then before we sit down to eat breakfast or whatever, they're going to want to say grace. And they always turn to me and ask me to say grace. Yeah. They give me an opportunity like that. I said, and I may spend 5 minutes, I may spend 10, I may spend 15, it may be 30 minutes. But what I got to say is going to come from the Lord. Because they'll hear it no other time. They'll hear it no other time. And that's when we need to do what we can to win our family. We can win our family at all costs. But it's not going to be over that present. Because we're going to give them the free gift. The free gift. Did you know when Christmas morning gets here, there's going to be individuals that's going to come down from upstairs or come out of the bedroom, and the children is going to come, and they're going to come and they're going to look up under the tree, and their parents is going to come and they're going to look up under the tree, and they're going to go over there, they're going to pass out the packages that has their name on it, and they're going to pass them out to the children that's got their names on it and everything, and the children they start guessing, and the mothers and the fathers, the grown-ups, they start guessing what is in the package. They don't have no idea what's in the package. They don't have no idea what's in the package. But I will promise you one thing. You ever ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life, you won't have to rip up no paint. You won't have to rip up no boxes. You won't have to take no paper off. He's going to do an emergency heart surgery on you right now. It's not going to leave no scar. So you got the packages under the tree. You got the light where the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of this world. We need to be following His light. We don't need to put His light, the light that we have, we don't need to take it and put it up under a bush and try to hide it like Peter did so many times. Peter tried his very best. Do what the Lord asked him to do. But we're more like Peter than anybody else I know of. Peter and Doubting Thomas. We get around some of our friends, or we go out here and they say, "Well, I just thought I saw you come out to church. Those down there, Faith Baptist Church.
Oh, you went down in faith? I didn't know that. I know you went down in faith. I just saw you come out. No, not me. People say that today too. They say, No, not me. Not me. They say, well, I seen you come out of this church. No, not me. Not me. I don't have no affiliation with them. What church do I get it at home. I turn on my TV tube. That's the reason the world's in the shape it's in. It's because of the TV preachers and the TV tube. The TV preachers is that got all the people confused. They'll get you confused too. If you sit there and you listen to it long enough. And it doesn't make no difference how grounded you are in God's Word. You can sit there and you can listen to that preacher on TV and all of the stuff that they're preaching and everything, and they can get you so excited. And you'll get to think, oh no. I did that. Yes, you did. Hey, I can remember my own self doing that. I mean, there was a preacher up in Ohio, I believe it was, a TV preacher. I ain't been saved about 2 years, and I was still going to church. I was going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, going visitation, and all of that. I was going out, going to the hospital and visiting people. But when I was at home, I had my TV turned on, and I was watching that TV. Evangelist on TV preaching. You almost got me hooked too. Almost got me hooked too. That one day I caught him. You know how I caught him? In one of these healing processes that he was doing. Up there touching people, laying the hand on the forehead. I ain't never figured that out. Why do they just lay the hands on the forehead? When they can't walk, and it's not the forehead, it's the legs. I ain't never seen nobody touch the legs, touch the arms. Find out. Individual, when he touched him right there on the forehead and she went down. She had a tag on. Right up here. It had her name on the tag. And right up underneath it. It has some other letters there, but it didn't mean nothing to me. But then I got to talking to an individual, Ken Damble, that used to drive the, D&M bus line. They went to South Carolina. One day, he took a group of people down there, a whole busload of people from Danville, down to South Carolina, the Coliseum down there. Left early that morning. They stopped on the way, while they was there that night. And the one that they was going, the one that he was taking them to and they was invited to was Oral Roberts. I know y'all have heard of him. But he said when he pulled up, He said, if you drove with bus, you come all the way up to the front entrance of the door. And the people on the bus would get out. And they could go into the entrance. And then they had to go down there and park the bus down there. Somewhere where all the buses parked. He said when he was letting the people off, won't none of them cripple or nothing like that. Won't none of them had a wheelchair or nothing like that to get on the bus or anything. None of them had a walker or nothing. But you know what the individuals done at the crusade that they had? They said, well, you've been riding a long ways. You need to get right here. We'll just push you on down. Put them in a wheelchair. Push them on. Give some of them canes. Bless Pat, not only that, they had hospital, looked like a hospital beds like that too. People was getting up on. And after the service that night, when the bus driver come back and picked them up, they told him, says, he said, well, you didn't bring the wheelchair to the where you got on the bus at in Danville. You didn't have no cane with you. We were sitting in hospital beds. He says, what's happened to you? I mean, were the seats comfortable? They said, yeah, says the seat was comfortable. We had a good time. But what happened to you? He said, well, just as soon as we got off the bus and everything, they had wheelchairs there and they had crutches. They had beds. And they told us this. We just want you to get in a wheelchair. We're going to put this little cane stick on you and everything. He says, once they get your name, and we're going to give them your name, to who's in a wheelchair, and ones that's got crutches, and ones that has a bed. I mean, they had them all like that, he said. Won't just his bus either. It was a bunch of buses. I mean, just about everybody in there was, you know, had wheelchair crutches. And one day, man that was the leader of the group, was looking after the group or making sure everybody was on and off. He asked them, he said, do y'all mind me telling, I forget what his name was, but they told him his name, called out the bus driver's name. He said, you mind if me telling him the reason y'all got in the wheelchair? Some got on the bed, some got had crutches. They said, no, I said, go on, tell him. He says, we know about it. He says, I wish that I'd never come. One elderly lady, and I remember by 2 or 3 years this individual was telling. Matter of fact, it was over at the mall. We'd been walking, and I'd been right there in the circle there where the pavilion is, where they got chairs and sitting and get coffee and stuff. And me and somebody else was there, and was over there, and he knew him. And he says, well, what was really funny? He says, it was this elderly lady that was on the bus that loved Oral Roberts. She'd been watching him on TV for years. She told him, says, I'll never, ever watch that man again. And I'll never listen to anything he ever said. Because that man's going to die and go to hell. You know what he preaches. He said, you know what he told us? He said, what's that? He said, we won't give you this tag. We're going to write your name on it. And we're going to put you in this section. Says now, we're going to give your name to the individual that's up on the stage with Oral Roberts. And when they call your name out, you go up. They're going to have somebody to push you up at. And they want you to repeat the card that we give you. This little lady says she let them go and push her on inside. She said, but once she got inside, she took the wheelchair, parked right there. She got up out of the wheelchair, went away, sat down, and she said, I want anybody to get up there and go up there. Go up there and allow them to use the people for his benefit, for his growing in money, for him to be able to get his power and his belief and get worked up. That's exactly what's happened down in South Carolina. I know it was in Georgia, down there where that other individual down there. These TV preachers, they eventually get caught. Why? They in it for the dollar bill. They in it for the money. I'm not in it for no money. I'm not in it for no prestige. I'm not in it for people to say, well, look what he's doing. Look how great he is. And I'm not looking for that. Only thing I want to see people to come into the house of God and get saved and be born again and go out and do God's work. Because and what treasures I have and I have earned. I haven't earned a thing. Only thing I have earned is what Jesus Christ is going to present to me when I get to heaven. And if he presents one little crown, it'll be worth it all. And if people talk about, in the songs that they sing today, they talk about the streets. S-T-R-E-E-T-S. Streets. Like there's going to be many streets there in heaven of gold. No, there's not but one street there in gold. And it's going to be Main Street. And it's going to be gold. It's going to be gold. It's transparent glass. That's how pure it's going to be. There's no going to be no imperfection there. But I'll tell you what. I don't want nothing nobody else has got. Anybody wants to, you can go to Bill and you can ask Brother Bill. But I've never said anything to him about money at all. I'm not in it for money. I'm not in it for prestige. I'm in it because of what he done for me. He saved my soul. He allowed me a way to go to heaven. And I ain't got to go to hell. A few more days. A few more days and it's going to be over. And it ain't going to be that long before he comes back. And when he comes back, are you ready? Are you ready? Or can you say tonight that I'm ready for him to come back right now? If you can say that, God bless you. But if you can't say that, you need to get up from your pew. You need to come to this altar. You don't need to come to me and pray and ask me to pray for you. You don't need to come and you pray to me, You need to get on your knees. You need to get where you can get along with God. And that's when you're praying to Him and asking Him. Say, God, I need help. And don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. And don't be embarrassed. And saying, God, I'm here. I am right here. I'm a man. I have this and I have that. I don't need you, God. Don't never say that. Because if you ever say that, the next moment you're going to be doing, you're going to be on your knees. Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Even Madeline, what's her name? O'Hara. The great atheist that she said she was. Her last words, she's going to say. From her last words, she said, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the last words that she's going to hear from the Lord is when He says, depart from me. I never knew. Oh yes, He knows where we're all at. But when He says that, where He says, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He never knew her coming to Him face to face. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for tonight. And Father, I pray, God, tonight, Lord Jesus, that we would all think about the few more days that we have. And Father, if we're not living the life, Father, that is pleasing unto Thee, Lord God, we need to come and ask, Father, for You to help us. The Lord Jesus, we need You more today than we needed You yesterday. Father, we just want to thank You for that free gift of salvation. We did not ask You to go to Calvary. I did not ask You to go for me. But You went for me because You love me. You love me enough to where that I would be able to see You face to face one day. And I could be able to thank You. Father, I thank You for that. I thank You for the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, convicting my soul, and introducing me to You, Lord. Thank You for saving my soul. And Father, I pray, God, that You'll just help me in what I need to do. Father, I know that I'm not living as close as I ought to be to You. But now, Father God, I ask, Lord Jesus, You'll help me. If I have anything that's undone in 2014, I pray, God, that You'll just help me tonight. You'll bring it back to my memory that I can go do it. Father, I don't want to leave nothing undone to where I promised You.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people. We thank you, Lord, for the attendance that we had tonight. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for them just listening. And Lord, we don't have to have no shouting. We don't have to have no running. We don't have to have none of that for you to show up, Lord. But we so thank you, Father, for showing up tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.